welcome to your announcement. Man, it is already, we're coming right up to Easter week. We got lots of stuff going on. Starting off with Friday is Good Friday.
Right.
We'll be having some services.
Right.
A service.
A service. One service, combined service at the WRC campus at
10 a.m.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Just going to spend some time considering the sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah, journeying to the cross.
Right.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that, Kim.
Yeah, that'll be great. And then Saturday.
Right. Saturday, we have the Easter egg
hunt.
Yes. Well done. That was so great last week with Matt. I got to say, Matt's behind the camera right now, everybody. And thumbs up to you, Matt. We really enjoyed you.
Still doing a great job.
Okay. Still doing a great job. And Easter egg hunt. Is Saturday at 10 a.m. at
Copley Park East. So we'd love for you to join us there. Hopefully it'll be nice and sunny. Yep. We'll find lots of eggs.
Yeah, invite a family friend or two.
Yeah, you
neighborhood.
Bet.
Yep, some kids. It's just a great time.
Yeah. And then of course, Easter Sunday. Gonna be a great celebration. We've got a baptism.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. It's gonna be a great time celebrating. So 10 a.m. at our Wilkinson Road campus, 11 a.m. at our Centennial Park campus. Yep. We'd love to see you there as well. So lots of stuff going on. So if you can't remember all of that, you know where to go. Hit up our website. We've got all the dates and times and places listed there. And then last but not least, certainly, Serve the City is coming up.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about Serve the City here. We do different things throughout the year. Some are around specific seasons, but we always like to do an outdoor Serve the City in the spring. And so details are going to be coming forward, but we want you to save the date. May 27th, Saturday. Please save that. Look forward to having you sign up. Like I said, details will be coming and we'll get that to you shortly.
Yeah, it's always a great day of doing all kinds of different projects around the city and just being able to serve our city.
Absolutely.
Good times.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that is all we've got for you this week. So we'll catch you next time. Hosanna to the one who saves. Happy Palm Sunday. I cannot believe that we are heading into Holy Week, that Easter is next weekend. This is crazy. I don't know what to do. But I am glad that you are all here. So grateful to be able to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich Lekwungen people. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. And we're going to sing Praise is Rising. Hosanna.
Washed away, washed away.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? And our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. And our God is Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open the gates. So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is he to set the captives free. But who can stop the Lord Almighty?
The Lord Almighty. Who
was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Do praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you that you are a God that is powerful, that nothing stands against you. You don't have a rival. You don't have an equal. And yet, God, your reign and your rule doesn't always look the way that we expect it to or the way that we want it to. But God, would we join with the voices of those people that welcomed you into Jerusalem, waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna, God, save us in whatever way you choose, in whatever way you think is best. Save us, God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is our King who rides in on a donkey. Blessed is our King who will die a sinner's shameful death, that we might know you and be reconciled to you. So we just give you praise and honor this morning, God. And we pray this all in your wonderful and beautiful and powerful name. Amen. Well, you guys can have a seat, and kids, you can head to the back and find Shiloh. She'll take you up to your kids program. And then youth, it is also our Sunday youth gathering week. So you guys can head to the back and head out and head down the hallway to your youth room. And the rest of us, unfortunately, oh no, we have to stay here. It's going to be great though. You're not going to regret it at all. And that sounded sarcastic, but it's really not meant to be.
Oh, Kim. Oh, man. Yeah, it's good to be with you this morning. Just want to highlight a couple of things. First of all, there was a family who had been a part of this church for years, and just before Christmas, Judy Mackay passed away. Some of you who knew them likely know that, and there's a service coming up on April 15th at 3 p.m., Brian and Judy would always sit right over here and had an incredible ministry to people, did a lot of premarital counseling and ongoing marital counseling and just reaching out to people. So we would just encourage you to be in prayer with that family as they get ready for the service on April 15th. Also, just want to remind you of my title, interim. All right, interim lead pastor. What does that mean? That means that we have a search going on, right? We got a search committee. We've been asking you to be praying. Things are progressing for sure. They've got a meeting tomorrow night. Ask you to be in prayer for them as they just continue to work on and seek God and solicit His direction, right? His will for this next leader for us as a church. So yeah, they're meeting tomorrow night again. So I just encourage you to be in prayer for them as they continue to look at the resume and figure out how to move forward and when to move forward. So we ask for that kind of wisdom. Also want to remind you, yeah, it's Easter next week. It's crazy. As Kim said at the beginning of the service, I can't believe where time is gone. And so we just encourage you, we would love to have you come on out. If you've got family maybe or friends, and maybe their regular practice isn't to be a part of a church community, church gathering, this might be a great opportunity to invite them and celebrate Easter together. And sometimes one way you can do that is you invite them over for lunch after. Be hospitable. And it's a fantastic, it's going to be a great service. And so we're looking forward to that next Sunday. Do you still need saving? Like, do you come this morning with some things that, I mean, you need God to show up for? I mean, we just sang some really amazing stuff. What a powerful God we have. No rival, man. When you guys are singing that, there's no rival, there is no equal. It just gives me goosebumps because that is the truth. God is majestic, He is powerful, and He is ready to save. He is ready to step into these scenarios and these situations that you're just a little bit, you don't know what's next. You're not sure what the end story is going to be. You don't know what it is, but what you do know for sure is that you need more of God. I have some of those in my life. How about you? Yeah. Well, the good news is our God is a God who wants to meet us there and wants to move and wants to work. And so I'm just going to pray for a moment or two for us, give you a little bit of time. You can completely ignore my words. God can hear yours as well as when I'm praying. And you go ahead and just maybe give some of those scenarios, some of those things, this powerful God name who's no rival, no equal, who wants to meet you and wants to meet you in those situations. So let's pray for a couple moments, and then we're going to get into God's story. Father God, Jesus, Son of God, Spirit of God, we are so thrilled to know that you are present with us this morning. You are the God who wants to bring freedom. You are the God who wants to set captives free. You're the God who wants to offer forgiveness. You're the God who wants to exchange despair with hope. You're the God who offers a wisdom that goes far and above and beyond what we could ever think or imagine. And this week of any weeks reminds us to the extent that you would go for us. And so, God, it's just been on my heart in these last couple of weeks, just how much we need you day in and day out. Like, we have broken things in our lives. We have some past, we have some memories, some echoes from our past, whether it's maybe some things that we chose, that we acted on, that have brought about some consequences that are very challenging for us. And God, we need you to help us through how to process, how to move forward, maybe how to interact with some people around those things that is creating some ongoing trauma. Lord, there's some very recent things that are maybe going on that we're in the early days and we're just not sure what the story is going to be, what it's going to look like as we kind of roll forward. And we need you. Jesus, when you walked into the temple that day and you rode from Isaiah, you just talked about how you do want to set the captives free. You want to redeem. You want to restore. You want to forgive. And so that's our posture this morning. We need that. We need that. Thank you for being with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, roll the clock back some 2,000 years. Before there was a we the church, right? Before there was the church, right? There was this guy, Jesus, rabbi, right? Wandering around the Mediterranean rim, interacting with people, teaching and doing things that defied natural order, right? We would call them miracles. And he was doing his thing. And there were all kinds of onlookers. There were followers. There was a lot of muttering going on. A lot of, murmuring. People talking, wondering, what is actually happening? There was intrigue for sure. Lots of intrigue. There was fear on behalf of some. There's anger, truthfully, on behalf of others as well. And then all of a sudden, there was Palm Sunday. Oh, they didn't call it Palm Sunday back then because they didn't have a chance to kind of look back now, right? But we look back on it now and we call it Palm Sunday. It's the beginning, right, of this thing called the Passion of Jesus. The week that really turned things on its head. The week that either made Jesus really who he said he was or would have turned him into an imposter. And so we have the luxury of kind of looking back on that, and it's really hard to look at it with brand new, fresh eyes, but I'm just asking us to consider once again what was taking place there. So if you've got a Bible or something with the Bible on it, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 19, and honestly, we've sung it in various ways already this morning as we've been gathered here this morning. If you listen to Christian music, I'm sure you've heard it as we've entered into this week and this day. John chapter 12, verse 12 says, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this, and only after Jesus was glorified Did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him? Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes to a Sunday gathering and worships him," right? I mean, that's what we're like, blessed, Hosanna, blessed be God. Now, this is taking place in the last week. People were anticipating his arrival. It says earlier on in chapter 11 and chapter 12, it's talking about these people are anticipating that he's coming because they're pretty sure that this rabbi is going to show up there, right? Because it's the Feast of Passover. So, of course, Jesus is going to come. Thousands upon thousands are arriving at the city for the festival. And so as Jesus comes, they're shouting, you know, King Jesus, and they're bowing down, they're putting down these palm branches, they're paying homage, right? They're paying honor. This is a part of their worship of this God. Jesus, the King Jesus, enters in this fanfare and adulation, and many had heard what he had done and taught, and there was this intrigue, and yet the opposition was rising. "This is getting us nowhere," said the religious leaders. "What are we going to do about this man?" Now, there's a bit of symbolism here that we may not really recognize and understand because most of us don't know much about donkeys or horses, right? It's significant that Jesus rode in on a donkey. This symbolized a humble, peaceable entry. On the other side of the city, you had Pilate coming in, and he was coming in on the big war horse. Big, majestic, powerful. But not Jesus. Jesus came in on a donkey, a meek and humble king, but ushering in a kingdom unlike the kingdoms that they were thinking about back in that day, and likely different than the kingdoms we are thinking about today. Now, that's not normally a phrase that we use outside of a church building. We don't talk about kingdoms, really, in our culture, and yet we have them. And we pursue them. And Jesus is talking and has been talking and will continue to talk about ushering this kingdom that kind of defies our thinking in so many ways. And yet Jesus, the one who had every right to come in on the great, big, majestic war horse, right? Jesus, the creator, the designer, the God who had the position, had the power, chose a different path, a different way. Origen, one of the third century Christian scholars, if you like, wrote a lot about the church and led the church in the third century, said this: "The marvel of Jesus is that in a world where power, riches, and violence seduce hearts and compel assent, he persuades and prevails not as a tyrant, not as an armed assailant, not as a man of wealth, but simply as a teacher, simply as a man of great love." A suffering servant is one of the phrases we use. A man of sorrows. Meek is one of those descriptors that we have of Jesus. It's talked about him being the Prince of Peace, and yet he is considered a king. A king. A king of a different kingdom than we imagined. And this kingdom has an MO, if you like a way about it that was unique and was very different. And it was this, that people of position, people of title, people of prestige are not there to serve their own purposes or some form of their constituents, but to leverage these things in order to serve and bless others. The broken, the hurting, those with less. To extend a grace, if you like, to the opposition. To those who could never repay in any form of social or financial currency. It was that kind of kingdom. And it's a power that confuses our sensibilities. People were confused when Jesus was coming, right? We've read that. We've seen that. And again, we kind of look back and we go, how don't you get it? And they could probably look down because they're the great cloud of witnesses, right? And be kind of going, you see, it's not as easy as you think. Because we don't always get it. It's actually a power that Paul talked about is considered foolish. Jesus is king of a different kind of kingdom. And Jesus' followers who were right literally with him were struggling to completely understand what that looked like and how that played out. The religious leaders, what's he doing? They were threatened by him. Is he the long-awaited Savior? And then, of course, you have the epic confrontation with the Roman leaders who are ruling the land. And you flip over to John chapter 18. And Pilate asked him inside the palace. He summoned Jesus to him. He says, are you the King of the Jews? Are you? And Jesus sometimes could be a little sassy. Respectfully, maybe, but a little sassy maybe at times. It's maybe good that the kids are out right now. Is that what we're thinking? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Yes, I am a king, Jesus responded. Yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. If it were of this world, my people, because you know I've got my people, they would be fighting for me. They would be fighting for me. But 18 verse 37, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Yes, I am a king. I am a king. It's as you say. And these kinds of statements were the statements that kind of riled the people up. That kind of got people like, what is really going on? And if you read this story, and I expect many of you will this week, and kind of in and around this week of the Passion and trying to just follow the story of Jesus, you're gonna recognize Pilate didn't want to deal with Jesus. He didn't know what to do with Jesus. Jesus wasn't his guy. Jesus, in his opinion, hadn't done anything wrong. What do I do with Jesus? That's a great question. What do we do? What do I do with Jesus? The religious leaders, as we've recognized already, they were fearful of his popularity. The whole world, it wasn't the whole world, we exaggerate sometimes, the whole world is following after him. There was a great many that were stirred and intrigued and wondering really what was going on. There were some in the crowd who were still looking for Jesus to flex. They were looking for Jesus to take on the authorities. Because when they think kingdom, they think reigning and ruling from positions of power within culture and society that they live. Jesus' closest followers were ready to fight, right? Do you remember that? They were ready to fight, but then they decided, actually, no, I'd rather flee. Because this kingdom isn't what I was expecting. And you see, I think it would be really healthy for us to recognize that Jesus' kingdom is not always what we are expecting. Now, I'm not asking you to be confused. I'm just asking you to acknowledge it. That it's hard sometimes to understand what does his kingdom, what does our God require of us today? What does it look like? Jesus, throughout this time, was demonstrating this kingdom. He was certainly teaching this kingdom. He was teaching about this kingdom. And we are told in so many places throughout the story, in so many of the letters around this early developing relationship that we could have with God, is do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Because when we are conformed to the pattern of this world, when we think kingdom, we think Pilate. When we think kingdom, we think position of power. When we think kingdom, we think power over. And when Jesus thought kingdom, he thought donkey. Not war horse. Not, look at me. They had every right to do all of that. That's not what he did. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, right, by the renewing of our mind. There are principles, there are manifestos, there are ideologies of this world that can so quickly invade us. One of the phrases Jesus used a lot when he was teaching was, you've heard it said, but I tell you. Like there's a way that's sort of normative within culture, maybe within your little group of friends. You've heard it said, but I tell you, I need to have a word on this because it's a little different than what you're thinking. There's a scripture that gives this great image. It says, take these thoughts that you have, these ideologies, these things that are kind of roaming through your brain, take these things and make them obedient to Christ. So take these things and make sure that they line up with Jesus and his way. We are reminded to fix our eyes on Jesus. One of the ones that that's Hebrews 11. We often know that, Hebrews 12. We forget that earlier on in Hebrews, actually, it was said, fix your thoughts on him too. Like, learn to think like Jesus. We're reminded that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Why are all of these reminders going on? They're all going on because it's really easy to veer off and to think completely differently than this king of the kingdom that he is displaying for us. The thing that I need, I understand, and maybe you need to understand, is that my reality is not always God's reality. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to synthesize. I'm trying to have his be my way. It's just not always that way. My ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. And these aren't just good sound bites. These are definitive statements about how we think and how much we need Jesus. Jesus came to bring freedom. Jesus came to bring hope, joy, peace, purpose, forgiveness. And they're found in a donkey-riding, cross-embracing, others-oriented life and posture, which led Jesus to this week, where he gave himself up for you and for me to forgive us, to renew us, to redirect us. It's Holy Week. I mean, here we are. And listen, we're Orthodox Christians. We have good theology. We're Christian enough to confess that Jesus saves through the cross. We sing about it all the time. But are we willing to imitate it? That posture in our life, in our relationships with others. And so this is part of the question. In your life, what does it look like to ride on a donkey? What would that look like? To have that meekness about you, that courage to walk into this kind of week. Jesus knew what was coming. I mean, everyone's expecting you to sort of be strong and loud and conquering, and yet he came in quiet, meek, humble, and lowly. So what does that look like as a coworker? What does that look like if you're the boss? I mean, aren't you supposed to ride in on the horse? Don't they expect you to be on the horse? What does it look like as maybe that person in the place of business that you report to everybody? How do we bring the kingdom to bear in those environments? What's that going to look like? How do you bring the kingdom to bear when you got the promotion and that other person didn't? What's your posture like? How do you walk with someone in that situation? What does winning look like in the space of the kingdom where others really do matter? And if someone wins, someone loses. How do we do that? How do we learn how to celebrate? Rejoice with those who rejoice. What if we didn't get it, that promotion? How do we bring the kingdom into that relationship now? Into that space? I know where I want to go. A little upset. Boy, they sure screwed that up. Well, you know, they'll pay for it. They'll come groveling to me at some point, right? Like that's kind of my natural, you know, sort of mentality. But that's not the kingdom. That's not the way of Jesus. How do we mourn with those who mourn? You know, pick a scenario that you're facing this week. How does the kingdom come into that? How does Jesus come into that? Does it look more like Jesus or the kingdom of this world in how you react and interact and react to the life? You've got a sibling. How's that looking? How does Jesus impact how you sibyl? Like, what does that mean? How you be a sibling? How do you do that? What can that look like? You know, as I was praying earlier, I talked about how You know, God might, some of you might need God to step into your own life a little bit because of some things in the past. With siblings, you know what? There's some things from the past. What does Jesus want to say in you and maybe through you, whether by word or by action, to a sibling where the kingdom is now starting to break in? What about your neighbor? Or your spouse? How about a friend? Here's one. How about your enemy? How about your ex? And some of you are going, that could be the same thing. Let's let the kingdom, right, break in, and let's see if God can actually do some things. Like, how does the kingdom respond? The kingdom is led by a king who rides in on a donkey of peace. Now listen, please don't hear me say that because Jesus rode in on a donkey and that we talk about peace, that somehow this is just a weak sort of thing. I'm telling you, like, the expression of the kingdom of God has got, it takes so much strength and so much power in order to live it out, like to pray for your enemies, to forgive those who have trespassed against me and my way, to be mistreated and to not retaliate, takes incredible strength. This is what our king did. And this is what this week represents. He was humble. He was courageous. He was restorative. He offers forgiveness. He sacrificed for all of us. That's the posture of the king of this kingdom, of this week that we celebrate. Can you, rather than turn your back on those who oppose you, can you somehow learn to stand with? Can you bear the burden of someone else's decisions? Listen, Jesus understands. This is what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm trying to learn, is that Jesus understands, and he will stand with you and uphold you in the midst of those challenges and those struggles. Holy Week is anything but weakness. Strength of character to live outside of the things that our world celebrates. Purpose. Courage. And at times, more often than we might like, to suffer for the sake of others. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we can come and we can, at times, and I'm speaking on my own behalf here, Jesus, where I can come in and I think I've got it figured out. And I'm worshiping you and I'm declaring Hosanna. I'm loving it when I hear there is no rival, there is no equal. And yet somehow I'm walking out of here with some sense of entitlement, some sense of superiority, some sense that others, you know, owe me. And so, God, I pray for myself, I pray for each one that's here, that as we enter into what is now called Holy Week, this time of reflection, Jesus, on what you did,
that it wouldn't just be this sort of concept that we worship, this amazing, like, emotional sort of feeling thing, like, isn't this incredible that Jesus died for us? But that that reality would then get in and mix it up with us, that we would then understand, oh, we are to go and we are to live in that way for others. That we would learn what it is to say, Father, forgive them, they do not understand what they're doing. It sure feels like it. It sure felt vindictive. It sure looked like they knew exactly what they were doing when they said those things, when they didn't do those things, that they were purposely trying to hurt me, but they don't understand what they're doing. Can we, Jesus, learn what that looks like? Can we learn, Jesus, what it means to bring in a new kingdom into our home, into our cubicle at work, and just see what might happen in cubicles around? Thank you, Jesus, that you don't give up on us, that you persevere with us. Spirit of God, thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you rise with us if you can, and we just want to do a corporate prayer where I'll lead a section, and then together we'll make this kind of declaration. And you know, I understand that for some of you this gets a little awkward. I haven't read it before, so man, all of a sudden just be blindly reading something in the midst of others is kind of weird, and I'm not sure I really should be doing that. I get that, and I understand it. That's okay. You can read it silently and decide if you agree or you don't. We're certainly not trying to lead you down some path that would not be sending you towards Jesus and the kingdom. But as you will, let us read together this corporate reading. Lord Jesus Christ, whose greatest moments of triumph happen on the back of a donkey's foal and nailed to a bloody cross, we gather to prepare the way for you in our lives and in our world. There are so many people and things that call for our allegiance. So many kings seeking to rule over us. But you ride into our experience as another kind of king, a serving, humble, and challenging king who calls us not to slavery, but friendship. There's so many things that seek our energy and resources for their own sake. So many kingdoms seeking our souls for their own glory. But you ride into our experience, heralding another kind of kingdom. A kingdom where the least are the greatest, where the meek inherit the earth, and where children are the best example of citizenship. A kingdom which seeks to bring life, not drain it. And there are so many things that draw our attention, so many realities that seek our faith and assent. But you ride into our experience where death does not have the last word, a reality where pride, selfishness, and evil are defeated by love and self-giving. A reality which does not parade itself for all to see, but fills every moment, every situation, and everything with life, while waiting for us to discover it. And so we cry from our hearts, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. It's interesting because when I think on the story of Palm Sunday, the Jewish people were oppressed by the Romans too. And so many of us would think they would have quite a right to expect that God would, of course, want to deliver them from the rule of the Romans over them. And yet God is so unexpected in that he bypasses the outer turmoil and oppression, and he kind of gets to our hearts. And he says, I'm actually going to save you from something you didn't even know you needed saving from. And it can be hard to trust him when he doesn't always act the way that we expect him to. But let's sing this song as a close, just reminding ourselves of the King that we serve. He isn't weak, but he is meek, and he is humble, and he is good. So let's sing the other Hosanna. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes, yeah. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a new
Hosanna in the highest.
love that bridge. Let's just sing that bridge one more time quietly as a prayer. I think it's such a powerful one. So heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart, God, and break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Yeah, God, this is our prayer. That you would heal not just our circumstances, but that you would heal our hearts. And that you would open our eyes to the things that you're doing around us, even the things that maybe are unexpected, that we would notice you, that we would be aware of what you're doing, and that we would be boldly able to jump in and partner with you, God. Yeah, God, you loved us. You loved the people that you came in contact with so deeply. And it can be hard to emulate that. So, God, we pray that you would develop that in us, that we would just grow and grow in our ability to love other people in the way that you have loved us. That you would break our hearts, that you would give us compassion for the things that you have compassion on. And, God, that everything that we do would be for the glory of you and your kingdom. So yeah, we just give you praise and honor. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us today. As always, if you're new, we'd love to connect with you. There's some connect cards in the seat in front of you. And I just want to leave us with this benediction. It says, may we echo the crowds as Jesus entered Jerusalem. The crowds who praised and celebrated this king, even though they did not yet know the nature and the scope of his saving plan. And may God, whose arms were spread wide on the cross to embrace the whole world, help us this week to take up his cross and follow him as well. Amen. Go in peace. And we'll see you maybe Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Have a good week, guys. Thank you.